Amen to that. Appreciate the message that Kenneth has brought to us, very much in harmony with what we want to speak about. We do need to be encouraged at times, don't we? You know, life just has a way of throwing things at us at times, and although we shouldn't, we do get caught off guard sometimes, and it's good to be reminded that when David was in such dire straits, he encouraged himself. You know, as Brother Kenneth was speaking about that, I was thinking, you know, I don't think I've ever been in that situation like he was. They were ready to kill him. Have you ever been in that way? You know, has it been that bad? Well, if it hasn't been that bad for us, then whatever we have ever faced, that would have been the solution. Encourage ourselves. And anything we have to face in the future, encourage ourselves in the Lord. You know, we want to be successful, don't we? Especially as children of God, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to be successful, don't we? Because we want to honor Him that loved us. We want to honor Him that served, came and did the Father's will, saved us from our sins, keeps us each day, coming back to get us, raise us from the dead, and change us if we're alive and remain, to take us home so that we can be with Him forever. Well, if that's our hope, then we ought to want to spend our time each day with Him. And discipleship's what's on my mind this morning. It's very much in keeping what Brother Kenneth has introduced this morning. Discipleship. I got a question for you. Is discipleship, is following Jesus as our Savior, is discipleship automatic for God's people? I agree. It's not. Now, by grace, He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. By grace, He sent His Son to die to save us from our sins. By grace, He keeps us each day. We may have trouble. We will have trouble. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In other words, there's nothing that can overcome what He's done for us. And so by grace, we'll land in heaven's pure world to sing His praises forever. But if He's made Himself known to us, then we need to be, our duty and our privilege is to be a disciple, a faithful disciple, a strong and courageous disciple, one who can, if nobody else is there to encourage you, that can encourage himself in the Lord. We have so much. We have so many reasons to show forth His praises each day. One of the verses that Brother Kenneth read was out of Joshua 1, verse 9. If you back up one verse, you'll find the only place in Scripture where success is mentioned. The only time that word, in all these books of the Bible, in all these chapters, in all these verses, the only time you'll find it. Now, the principle is obviously there. But, you know, victory and things like that. But notice he says in verse 8, as he's telling Joshua to be strong and very courageous, he's going to tell him how he can be successful at it. And if we want to be a successful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, I understand we have to keep that principle in context. You know, years ago, Brother Michael Goins told me that the Lord hasn't called us to be successful. He's called us to be faithful. And if we're faithful, God will take care of His will and bring the things to pass that's pleasing to Him. But as a disciple, we want to be successful in being faithful. That's my point. We want to be successful in being faithful to Him and using what we know so that we can grow and so that we can let our light shine. Okay? So I'll just start there, Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law, listen now, this is the instruction God gave Joshua to fulfill what God told him to do. Obviously, God was going to provide the power and the protection, but Joshua needed to do this. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. That's a good verse to remember, isn't it? Of course, all of God's word is good, but that would be good for us to remember. Discipleship. We've mentioned the tulip lately, and the 5 points of what most people recognize as Calvinism, but what we understand that the Bible teaches those things, just not exactly the way John Calvin presented them to us. And not as Calvin spoke about progressive sanctification, but we do need to grow. We do need to learn. We do need to be exercised in righteousness so that we can become stronger and do that which is pleasing in His sight. And so we need to grow in our, first and foremost, every day, we need to grow in our love for God. Because that love is what's going to fuel faith. Faith which worketh by love. In Galatians 5, there, when he talks about the faith which worketh by love, that word worketh there, it means the energy of it. The energy of faith is love. If there's not much love there, there's not going to be much energy in the faith. But when it's continually being fueled by the love of God, by us remembering how much love He has for us, remembering the great love that He has for us, remember the purity of the love that He has for us, remember all the aspects of the love of God, which is tremendous. If we keep that in mind, it will help us in our love for Him. You know, His love to us is perfect. His love for us is eternal. His love for us, it's unconditional. But our reflection of that, our expression of our love to Him can be lacking. And so if we're going to be a faithful disciple, that's first and foremost. Remember after Peter had been unfaithful and had denied the Lord 3 times? And no doubt when Peter went out and wept bitterly, no doubt he felt like that his discipleship, well, no doubt he was confused. Because they didn't yet understand that Jesus was going to rise from the dead, but they did see that He was arrested. They did see He was being tried. And in that hour, Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Now, I'm not going to impugn him more than what the scriptures say, but it just seems like since he was going out and weeping bitterly, perhaps he thought his discipleship and all that the Lord would have him to do was over. And maybe you felt a situation in your life when something has come up and you felt like that things had changed. But what a wonderful blessing it is to see how the Lord came, when He came back, when He was raised from the dead, and He came back, and one of the first things He said was, "Go tell my disciples and Peter that I go before them into Galilee." Oh, God gives us a second chance. And He gives third chances. And He gives fourth chances. God is merciful. His long-suffering is tremendous. He's always good when we're not. All right? But what did Jesus do after He arose from the dead and after He appeared on that shore and Peter and, what was it, about 6 others, they said, "I go a-fishing." Peter said, I go a fishing, and there was others that went with him. Now, the Lord had called them to be faithful to him. They went fishing. They went back to their old profession. And the Lord appeared to them. And in the interest of time, you remember Jesus began to question Peter. When Peter realized it was the Lord and he came to the shore and told him to bring the fish which you've caught and all that. But he began to question Peter. Now there's a whole lot of things that Jesus could have said at that time. Right? There's a lot of things. Peter, what in the world were you doing denying me? Peter, why would you go to that extent? There's a lot of things he could have said. But what did he say? Lovest thou me? I know he said, lovest thou me more than these. But then he asked him two more times, lovest thou me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. You get the point? Yeah. Love. That's the issue. That's the whole of it. If we can get that right, we can grow. But I doubt we're going to grow very much. If we don't get that right, if that's not there, if that's not in place, if that's not growing, if that's not getting attention, if that's not there to fuel our faith, I'm not sure how far we'll get in discipleship. And certainly not faithfulness. Do you see the importance? I mean, you know, so many times in Scripture, and as you read the Scriptures, and you find the exchanges that Jesus had with the Pharisees and with different ones that came to him, and those that had healing, and so forth. But as he interacted with them, there were times that they would ask a question, or something would happen, and it would seem like that he would come back with a response that maybe wasn't even related to their question, but what he was doing was just cutting to the chase. He was getting down to the heart of the matter. And with Peter, that's what he was doing. Do you love me? And Brother Kenneth mentioned about reading between the lines. I think if you read between the lines and all of that, you'll find out that the Lord's telling him, if you don't love me, I don't want you feeding my sheep. All right? That's the central issue in discipleship. And so, I ask again the question, is discipleship automatic? Well, if it's left up to us, I'm going to tell you, it's not automatic. All right? So, but is it important? Is it something that every child of God who's been quickened by the Spirit of God and blessed to hear the gospel and blessed to know that he's a sinner in need of a Savior and blessed to hear the good news of salvation, it's something that every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, they ought to be growing in their discipleship. And there ought to be evidence of it in our lives that we're growing. We've got other responsibilities, but we can do those things in a Christian demeanor. We can do those things in a way that shows forth a thankfulness in our hearts and a love for God, because if we love God, we're to love one another. All right? So again, we get back to that subject of love. But so many times, the things of this world, like the parable of the sower, so many times the things of this world, the cares, the pleasures, the things of this world choke it out, the effect of the Word of God. And so for a disciple, if the Word of God is being choked out, what else is there for us to feed upon? What is there for us to be nourished upon? And so if we're going to cut off our supply of the good things, then it's just going to be the worldly things that's going to fill our heart and mind and occupy our time. So we need to be growing in discipleship. When Jesus came, he began to call different ones to follow him. You remember when in John chapter 1, when Jesus began preaching, and there were two of John's disciples began to follow him. And they said, "Rabbi, you know, where dwellest thou?" He said, "Come and see. Come and see." When Philip found Nathanael, said, "We found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth." Remember what Nathanael said? "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" What did Philip say? "Come and see." Do you know that's the first part of discipleship? If there's one that's been quickened by the grace of God, if there's one who has an interest in the things of God, then he needs to come and see. You know, there's lots of studies that's been made. I think the Southern Baptist funded one 10, 20 years ago, and the results were just amazing, that a satisfied member of a church is far more effective for getting people to come to your church than the preacher is. You know, they just say, "Well, if the preacher, you know, he just wants to build up a big congregation." But if the congregation is happy, if the congregation is being fed, then bless your hearts, they're much more effective at inviting people to come to church than the preacher is. Now, we can look at that and say, "Well, it ought not to be, but that's the way it is." And so you can't change that. And so, come and see. Now, granted, I believe I would be amazed and probably dumbfounded if I knew how many people are in the church that they attend simply because that's where mom and daddy brought them when they were little. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. All right? But when we're talking about discipleship, we're talking about learning of the things of God. We're talking about growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're talking about applying the principles that are taught in the Word of God. We're talking about letting our light shine. We're talking about following Him faithfully and doing according to His Word, because Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And so we need to know what the commandments are. We need to know how to conduct ourselves. We need to know these things. And what a blessing it is to bring your children to the house of God when they're young, so that they can, little by little, they can see, they can hear, they can experience the love of God from God's people. They can grow in these things in that way. But come and see. That's how Jesus started out in showing us what discipleship is all about. Come and see. Perhaps when a person's just, getting back to bringing our children to the house of God, you know, it's very possible, and oftentimes it is the case that the Lord has not yet dealt with them. Okay? But when the Lord does deal with them, bless your hearts, they'll have an exposure to the things of God. Oh, how needful that is. And then when they do begin to feel a desire for the spiritual things, because they've been born of the Spirit, and when they do begin to feel a conviction for their sinfulness that dwells within all of us, then, bless your hearts, the good news of the gospel can teach us and point us in the right direction and show us that there's forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's only those sinners who are quickened by the grace of God who feel that conviction, because that conviction comes from the Spirit of God witnessing within us against the things that are not right. That's the witness of God, and He gives it to us when we're born of the Spirit of God. And so when we're preaching the gospel and when we're teaching those things which are right, and when someone begins to feel that conviction by the Holy Spirit within them, and bless your hearts, then they're a candidate to come and offer themselves as a member of the church, to take up their cross and follow Him in baptism. because they felt that conviction and they felt that desire to come. Remember, we were talking about those 5 points. We talked about how that no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. Right? So if God is drawing, oh, bless your hearts, then they can come. Jesus, later in his ministry, began teaching, like we find in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So there's a need for coming, but as we see then, the next thing is to come and follow. It's one thing to come. You know, when a person first begins to have these feelings, desiring to come as a member of the church and as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a point where their feelings are great, but their understanding may be small. And again, going back to like the parable of the sower, there was some seed that fell by the wayside. And when the sun came up, it parched them because there was no, they had no root. You know, they sprang up and anon with joy, they received the word of God. But then when the heat came, they withered because they didn't have much root to draw up the moisture, to keep them strong. And bless your heart, sometimes God's people can become offended. Sometimes when there's not a lot of understanding, things can happen and they can turn away and may never come back. And so that's why we need to be growing in our understanding, growing in grace. And then, so Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. See, there's the ones to whom the invitation is extended. Those who are labor and are heavy laden. Those who feel the weight of their sins. Those who know that they're not perfect. Those who realize that God is. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that rest comes in knowing that our forgiveness is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that died for our sins. He's the one that saved us by his grace. And oh, we can rejoice in that. All right, so come and follow. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Then later on, we find Jesus teaching in Matthew 16, if any man will come after me. Remember that? Matthew 16, 24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You see the first condition of discipleship? Deny self. You know, without that, without the desire to follow the Lord, we've been doing what we wanted to do. Our whole life has been patterned after whatever we were interested in and whatever we thought we needed to do. And we'd go about doing it in whatever way we felt like we needed to. But bless your hearts if we felt the calling of God, if he's blessed us to know who he is and what we are before him. And Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. He gives it. All right? And that's sweet rest, isn't it? To be reminded of our forgiveness in the Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, to be reminded of the security that we have in him, to be reminded of his love and his mercy upon us. Oh, what a blessing. But he didn't stop there, did he? He didn't stop with just coming and him giving rest. Okay? I think a lot of people do stop right there, though. When they feel like they've come to that knowledge and they come and they find that joy. But Jesus didn't, in that passage, he didn't stop there. He goes on to say, take my yoke upon you. Yoke? That sounds like work, doesn't it? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Oh, he's asking something of us, isn't he? He's asking us to do something. And it's not automatic, you know, if we feel his love and if we blessed to know that there's forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's sweet rest in the message of the gospel. Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. If we're going to be faithful to him, if we're going to live in a way that shows forth his ways, he says, if any man will come unto me, if any man will be like me, he says, if any man will have that desire to be faithful to him and to follow him, then the goal of a disciple is to be as his master. We're to learn what he likes. We're to learn what he dislikes. We're to act in ways that's pleasing to him. Do what he would have us to do. All right? So when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Are you yoked up with Jesus? Are you pulling in the way that he's pulling? Are you plowing where he's plowing, if you will? Oh, if we think about it, that's what he calls us to do as his disciple. Not just to continue to just sit and enjoy the grace of God, but he's called us to do these things. Why? Because that's what brings glory to his name. That's what shows the world who we are. And who we are the happy recipients of the grace of God. If we continue to act like the world, if we continue to sound like the world, if we continue to smell like the world and do all the worldly things, where's the glory to God? He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. To take his yoke upon us and learn of him. That's our goal. That's our job as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. To do that as long as we have our being here. So, how about church attendance? When we think about him talking about, and by the way, when we get to this point where he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, We're to the point where we realize there's some choices to make. There's some choices to make. When we're faced with situations in life, how are we going to respond? Are we going to follow the flesh? That comes out automatically, doesn't it? That pops out quickly. And if that's all you've got to go with, if you're just going to follow the flesh, then that's not going to be pleasing to the Lord many times. As a disciple, we've got choices. Are we going to follow the flesh? Are we going to do that which just comes naturally and comes automatically? Or are we going to seek what the Lord would do? I like that expression, what would Jesus do? I like that question. Because that's what we should be doing all the time. When we make decisions, when we make choices, when we decide to go in a certain direction, we need to be seeking the Word of God as our guide. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So that takes us to the place where there's choices to be made. As a pastor, and I'm not by myself, every other pastor I've ever talked to, we're this way. You study all week, you pray that God will give you a message that would be good for the congregation, and then when you get there on Sunday, you wonder who's going to show up. And you wonder what kind of choices they're going to make that week, what they're going to choose to do, what the values are, how they're going to prioritize things, so they're going to just decide that they're going to do this and skip church, or, every Sunday, I'm wondering. Who's going to show up? What choices are they going to make this week? What's going to take them away? How important does it have to be to get them to take it away? See, the devil's right there all the time, tempting us. I'm not saying that the devil is always responsible, but what I'm saying is, as far as discipleship is concerned, we've come to the place where we need to make choices. And we need to make the choices that are going to be pleasing to God if he's going to own and bless when we gather together in his name. If our minds are on the things of this world when we come together, then the world is going to be, somehow reflected. And so It's so important. As disciples, it's not automatic. We have to make choices. Now, I'm not saying that church attendance is the only thing that matters as far as discipleship. Sure, there's plenty of things that we're confronted with throughout the week. But part of the Word of God says we're not to be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Hebrews 10:25. All right? That's one of your New Testament commandments. Okay? So when we look at that, that's part of what the Word of God tells us, so that we could come together as a body of believers, praying together, singing together, worshiping God together. We need that, don't we? If we're going to be disciples, if we're going to be encouraged by one another, if we're going to be encouraged in the things of the Lord, if we're going to be encouraged in serving Him faithfully, bless your hearts, as we come to that place where He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." It's time to make some choices. It's time to set some priorities. What's going to get our time? What's going to get our attention? What's going to get our affections? And it's all going to be driven by the amount of love that we have for God. And it'll show. And it'll show. If you keep going through the scriptures, you know, Jesus spent 3.5 years teaching His disciples, His apostles, and preaching the kingdom of God. They had a lot to learn, didn't they? And they, no doubt they did. And there were some things that they didn't get until He rose from the dead. Okay? But there were so many things that He was teaching them. And then after He arose from the dead, and after He ascended back to heaven, and after the Holy Ghost came upon them on the day of Pentecost, and as the Spirit was moving them in the days ahead, that no doubt that Spirit brought many of these things back to their remembrance. But we need to be growing in grace and accumulating these things as we go through our lives. Now, thankfully, He only had 3.5 years teaching His disciples. But bless your hearts, we've got all our lives to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless He comes right away, and that'd be fine too, wouldn't it? All right? But until He comes, we're to be faithful to Him, and part of that discipleship, right, making the right choices, doing the right things, and growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, as we grow in grace, and that's where that second part of that passage from Matthew 11, where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Then He said, "Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." So as we grow in discipleship, and as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then there's more rest to be found. I tell you, a good night's rest is a blessing, isn't it? But, you know, when you haven't done much and you're not very, you know, if you're laboring hard, that rest is sweet. But a lot of our labors nowadays are more mental than they are physical, and it's not as easy to rest from that, is it? Well, I'll tell you something. He's given us a good prescription here. We just need to fill it, and we need to take it to find rest. And if your soul is at rest, it'll help this body tremendously. And that's a big part of many people's lives today. Their souls haven't found rest. Their souls are restless. Their souls are just in such turmoil. But if we're seeking the Word, if we're following Him, if we're wanting to please Him, and bless your hearts, there can be rest to our souls that will help the body tremendously as we're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so part of that's going to be reading. Part of that's going to be having some prayer. And I'm talking about real prayer, right? Real prayer to the Lord. And it's okay to pray for yourself, but don't forget others. Don't forget others. But let me ask you something. I need to be careful with this one, but remember Mary and Martha. Remember them? Now, there's several things we're told about Mary and Martha, but I suspect that the first thing we remember was the time that Jesus came to dinner. Right? All right, so we're on the same page. When Jesus was coming to their house, and they knew it. They knew it ahead of time. But looking at that, you know the situation. Looking at that situation, which one, Mary or Martha, would you say demonstrated being a better disciple? How many Marthas? How many Marys? Yeah. Now, she demonstrated it. Now, I'm so thankful for folks that take care of business. You know, that do what they have to do. But this was a short period of time that Jesus was going to be in their home. And he was going to be teaching. And Mary and Jesus defended her against Martha. Those other things need to be done. But Jesus said, Mary hath chosen that good part. And it shall not be taken from her. It could be that Mary was washing some dishes after he left. I don't know. We're not told. But Martha was cumbered about with but serving. She was missing what Jesus was teaching. Mary was taking the opportunity to sit at his feet. As disciples, may God help us to take advantage of the times we have to sit and hear the words of God. Amen. May, as disciples, every day, you know, we only have this privilege once or twice a week, but every day we start our day, and sometimes you can have a hectic day and realize, oh, let's see, I haven't had any prayer today. Or maybe you get halfway through the day and it's just not going real good, and then you decide to pray. Well, that's good too. But what would be better would be to start your day with the right frame of mind and with the reminder that you need the help of the Lord, and I think things will help you. Now, I'm not saying you won't have troubles, but you'll handle those troubles with a better frame of mind. And your soul will have more rest. And we'll be a better disciple. And when those bad things happen and we're able to handle them in a better situation, then we honor our Lord better with our reactions. You see the value here? There's value to what the Lord taught us. There's value to what the Word of God teaches us. There's value to help you in your daily lives to have more joy and peace. I'm not saying it's going to put more money in your bank account, but it'll help you to be richer in the life that you're living. Enjoying the fellowship of God's people. Enjoying your family. Enjoying the things that are going on. And have more strength and encouragement that we're walking with the Lord. And we have the leadership of His Spirit. And He's revealing to us what we need to know because we're seeking it of Him. Oh, there's just so much value that the world and a tremendous bank account cannot give you. This is better. And so, abiding. And that's the, not only come and see, not only come and follow, but come and be with the Lord. Whether we're talking about a church service, whether we're talking about our daily lives, spend some time with the Lord. If you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you claim to be a disciple, you know, remember what we said about 1 John? 1 John gives us a challenge to our faith. If you say this, then walk this way. If you're going to say it, if you're going to talk the talk, then walk the walk. Okay? Because that's what honors God. And he's the one that's worthy of it. All right. So spending some time with the Lord. If you want an Old Testament passage, how about Psalm 119, verse 9? Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's a good question, isn't it? And that's a young woman or a young man, either one. Wherewithal shall we cleanse our way? By taking heed thereto, to thy word. Taking heed. Not just knowing it, but taking heed to it. Not, you know, it's good to know it, but we need to, when we know it, we need to apply it. Taking heed thereto, the word of the Lord. He says that's how we cleanse our way. Not just cleanse to start your day, but to cleanse our way. You've got it to start with, and you're going to take it with you. Oh, how we need that every day we live. And then, to close this up, not only to spend some time with the Lord, but to literally abide with him. John 15 is the best place I know of to go to, where Jesus taught us the value of abiding. Now, when I say abiding, we're not talking about just sitting in one place all day long. We're talking about having it and going, and, you know, and as we go about our day, we carry it with us, but we're still abiding in the Lord. Okay? John chapter 15. We'll read the first, time's gone, but I'm going to read the first 9 verses. Jesus said, I'm the vine, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Later he's going to say, I'm the vine, you're the branches. All right, so in case you've forgotten the symbolism here, this vine, he is the true vine, we're the branches, and he's already begun to talk about fruit, the need for fruit. If you've got a grapevine or scuppernong or whatever kind of vine, and you tend to it and you look forward to the season when there's fruit on it, aren't you pleased when there's a lot of fruit on it? I mean, that's what you hope for from the vine, right? You hope that the fruit will be there. And you want it to be good fruit. Okay? Well, Jesus said, I'm the true vine. He's not some degenerate vine. He's not some vine that's going to provide what's needed for sour grapes. He's the true vine. And my Father's the husbandman. You talk about provisions. We've got it. And we're the branches. See, everything the branch needs, except for the light, you know, everything that the branch needs for its nourishment comes from the vine, right? That's the principle. He's starting out by telling us, okay, I've got everything you need to be fruitful as a disciple of mine. We've got everything we need. The variables with us. All right? So listen to what he says. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. Okay? As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now, verse 8. Dropping down to verse 8, he says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciple. Bearing fruit. It's not automatic. Bearing fruit. bearing much fruit. He gives us everything we need to bear much fruit to His glory. What are we doing with it? Are we yoked up with Him? Are we following Him? Are we spending some time? Are we abiding in Him? Listen, he goes on to say, abide in me, verse 4. And I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide, right? In the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Three times he says that word abide. And this is a powerful, powerful principle of discipleship. Abiding in Him, not in the world, not seeking our pleasures from other things, but abiding in Him. Because abiding in Him is how we will grow in our love. The more we know about Him, the more we'll love Him. I'm confident that I can make that promise. The more we know about Him, the more we'll love Him. The more we spend our time with Him, the more we'll love Him. The more we abide in Him, the more we'll love Him. And that is the central issue. That's the source of many of our problems. That love is weak. His love is strong. His love is perfect. His love is abundant. But somehow we choke it off. So often we choke it off. But it could be running. It could be flowing into us, out of us, into others, being a blessing, being light, being salt. It could be. What's standing between us and the reality of it? I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do very little. No, he says, without me you can do nothing. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? Without him. What does he mean by nothing? He can do plenty of things. What he's saying is to his glory. Nothing to his glory without him. He's the one that supplies everything we need to bring glory to his matchless name and to love him like we should. All right? If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. Oh. His discipleship becomes shipwreck. And men gather and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me. Boy, let's see, we ought to get the point by now, shouldn't we? Abide. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, and ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now listen. That doesn't mean you could ask anything in the world and he's just going to give it to you. But what he's saying is anything, when you're abiding in him and you're thinking like you should and your heart's affections are where they ought to be, then you'll be asking appropriately and he'll be giving it. Because verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, continue ye in my love. If you want to grow, if you want to be a more faithful disciple, if you want to be encouraged in the Lord, if you want to be strong and very courageous to be faithful to God, three words. I'm not going to take time to go to the rest of it, but there's three words in John 15 that really just tell you what the theme of that chapter is. Abide. I think we sufficiently covered that one, didn't we? Continue and remain. Remain. When we're blessed to know how to follow him and we're spending time with him, stay the course. Stay there. Be faithful. He's faithful to you. He's merciful to you. He's loving toward you. Now let's return the favor. I mean, that's just right, isn't it? He's given us so much. It's just only right that we should honor him and out of gratitude and thanksgiving for all that he has done, is done, and will do, thank his holy name and love him like we should. When you love the Lord like you should, you can love your family and your friends better. But if you get it out of sequence, it's just not going to work. It's just not going to work as well. I hope that I've covered some things this morning that help us to be pointed in the right direction. My prayer is that we could be yoked up with the Lord more, pulling in the direction he would have us to be pulling, serving in what he would have us to be doing. But in all of it, letting our light shine, that others may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. May God bless you, is our prayer.